Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Oh, come on. It's good to have you with us here tonight. Right here tonight. It is Wednesday, 25 October, 2023. Welcome to blizzard-filled North Dakota.
And you're home with us.
And I'm home. Didn't get stuck in the blizzard. And it's good. We drove by and laughed at all the Halloween decorations covered up with snow. Glory be to God. You know, we got to get serious with God about this, because this is the level of authority that we should be functioning in on a regular basis.
Amen.
It really is. And without any questions asked, you're like, we all just come together. All right, what are we doing about Halloween? Let's shut it down, Pastor. Yep. All right. And then we shut it down. Now, there we go. Welcome, YouTube. It is good to have y'all with us. Have ya?
It is good to have you with us. And it's good to have Pastor with us.
All right. Now,
I thought we were already live.
There we go. Now, let's deal with a couple issues here. Number one, let's deal with a couple of my posts I posted on Facebook. Hamas smacking the bee nest of Israel.
I thought that was very good.
That was very, very good.
Oh,
very good.
I like that one. I thought that was pretty good.
From a beekeeper's perspective, don't mess with the bees if you don't want to mess with the bees' thing. But I really like the verse of scripture that goes with it. Exodus 23:28. All right. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before you. Now, isn't it something that the Hivites, you know, like a beehive, are going to be driven out by the hornet? And the Canaanite and the Hittite, that's the exact people that's giving them problems right now. May them really big yellow jackets drive them out. May they run all the way to Iran.
Hi, Richard and Roger.
Richard and,
yeah, run all the way
and
to
Roger.
Amen.
How you guys doing? It's good to have you with us tonight. It is good to have you with us. It's a wonderful, beautiful day here in the neighborhood. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Now, so that's one of the verses. And the other verse was, what was the other verse? Do you remember?
I don't.
There's two of them.
Are you sure?
Yeah, there was another one. Well, I don't remember what it is, but let's just use this one. Exodus 12:13. And that verse says, when I see the blood, I will pass over, and the plague will not be upon you as a destruction. Now, if you don't have it done, you might want to try it. We still have our doors with red tape over the top and on the sides. On purpose. As we live in the fact of the blood is over the doorpost and the mantle. And when he sees the blood, he passes over. And besides that, we just post the blood of Jesus on every part of our life. We post the blood of Jesus on America. We post the blood of Jesus on all of you, on our families. We post the blood of Jesus everywhere we are and everywhere we go and everything we do.
Amen.
Can I get an amen, amen, hallelujah? Oh, that's the other verse. The other verse is, though your sins were as scarlet, where is that? Isaiah chapter 1? Yes. Isaiah 1, 18. And God said, come now, y'all, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, now that's red, but sin makes you dark, that's Halloween, they shall be as white as the snow. And we got 6 inches of it out there already. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And I drove by the Halloween decorations going, man, 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 man. Because what are you going to do? You can't stop God. Not only did they get freezing rain done, they got snowed on.
And drifted over.
Woo! I don't know if you can tell or not. I'm pretty happy. Well, Leanne's pretty and I'm happy. Yeah, let's put it that way. Now, I hope y'all caught on to the fact that we got a speaker of the house. Born again, spirit-filled man of God, speaker of the house. And didn't you say Mississippi or Louisiana?
I don't remember. Where is he from, Dan? Louisiana.
Louisiana?
Louisiana.
Down there, their sister.
Come on there. Sister Phyllis was the one praying hard enough. The rest of y'all better get your act together. Now, I want to play a couple minutes of Gene Bailey from today. So, everybody just get yourself ready. I'm not going to listen to the whole thing. Thank you. We're just going to listen to a little bit of it. But, you know, here's the reality. I didn't even know about this guy. And he not only got the 218 he needed, he got 220. So, glory be to God.
Glory be to God. Yes.
All right, got it.
Thank you, Lord.
Here we go. What? I can't share the screen unless I'm the host? Is that what it is?
You are the host.
There we go. Share the screen. Everybody pause just a minute here. Just going to play a few minutes of Brother Gene. I'm getting closer. What I love about you guys, we've gotten so good here that we're faster than our phones.
Yeah.
Sitting there waiting on this phone to catch up.
Isn't that the truth?
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? We shall come rejoicing. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
We have time to push buttons and sing a song.
Isn't that the truth? In the world, we shall come rejoicing. Isn't that the truth? Well, I don't have any idea what's trying to go on there. We don't want to share that yet. We want to go over here with this. There we go. There we go. So, I want y'all to join me now. I'm getting closer. Here we go. share the screen, start the broadcast.
The Spirit of Faith. Well, don't forget to click the subscribe button and hit the bell icon to stay connected. Not a part of the Flashpoint Army? Sign up for the latest email updates at govictory.com/FPSignup and join us as we stand for truth and freedom. You're finally back in the studio from your whirlwind tour. Yes, I am, Gene. I came back because I didn't want to miss you tonight.
Wow.
I'm here for you. Yeah, you guys, can you guys edit that out and make sure we play
yes.
it? Make that my ringtone whenever Lance calls. It's good to have you back. Pastor Hank's been on vacation. You're like, what beach were you at there for a couple of weeks?
Well, no, actually, I was actually in Italy roaming about.
Yes.
No, I was actually right here in the United States surfing on the net.
Yes.
That's
and so we're glad to have you back. And
the dad jokes are back, Pastor Gene.
Yes, I noticed. And I like dad jokes, but it's all about the timing. Anyway, all right, so let's talk about what's been going on. I want to show you this from the IDF. As we know, in all seriousness, what's going on in Israel, it's not going away anytime real soon. Look at this IDF post this. The IDF and ISA just conducted an aerial strike on Hamas, an Islamic Jihad terrorist compound, and Al-Ansar Mosque in Jenin. Recent IDF intel revealed the mosque was used as a command center to plan and execute terrorist attacks. Now, I don't know, Lance, if you can see that. Put that back up, guys. If you can see the there to the right, there is the X-ray or the version where you can see actually into the elaborate tunnel system that's going on there, and that this is what they do, Lance. I wanted you to speak to this. They built these mosques. Either they put them in missiles in hospitals, or they put them under a mosque. There was an elaborate setup there that was bombed, and this is what the Israelis are dealing with.
One hostage, Gene, that they so far have given up, like some it's irony of ironies, like some 78-year-old activist who actually was a leftist working sympathetically with Palestinians, said that they took her hostage, and her husband's not been released yet, but she was released, and she said she went into a maze of underground tunnels. So it's not just one tunnel, you know, like trying to tunnel out of prison or something like that. It's an absolute total infrastructure. And by the way, this is what happens with your American money. Trump stopped sending the Palestinians millions of dollars. Biden opened it up. The UN opened it up. And so you have hundreds of millions of dollars going into, not into schools and infrastructure and sewage systems and hospitals, but into missiles and underground tunneling. That's why they have to be taken out.
Yeah, without a doubt. Let me give you, Rick, a chance to comment on that. The tunnel system, and I think what Lance says is so accurate. We have this idea that there's this dusty, things are falling apart, it's not really stable, and they're, you know, having to hunch over to get through these tunnels. That's not the case from what we're seeing at all. It's a very sophisticated system.
Yeah, and Lance is absolutely right, man. It's been billions of dollars, not just from us, but other countries all over the world giving that money. And we've said this on the show. I hate being repetitive sometimes, but repetition is the mother of all learning, and we need to be reminded right now when they're trying to confuse things and make it look like a moral equivalence, or even when Joe Biden tries to make the Ukraine-Russia thing somehow equal to the Israel-Hamas situation. It's so important for us to remember what has happened here and just how not equivalent this is and how evil these people actually are. And even when the money went there, Donald Trump came in with the moral clarity that is missing right now. He immediately said, why are we giving? Again, repetitive, we've said it on the program before, but remember what he said. Why are we giving hundreds of millions of dollars so that they can kill Jews with our money? He saw that immediately, and he stopped it, just like Lance said. He stopped sending the money. Of course, Joe Biden's done it on steroids, and even now wants to send them more money, even in the face of this evil. So I just think it's important to remember moral clarity is what we need in our leadership, and it's certainly missing right now.
Let me go to you, Russell, on this, Pastor Russell Johnson. Moral clarity is what Rick's saying. You agree with that? We have a lack of moral clarity in the White House?
I think when the church loses her voice, the world loses her mind. And You know, we've seen a concentrated effort working overtime to try to silence the church, and in doing so, it's led to some of the moments that we find ourselves in today. It's almost like giving $6 billion to the largest state sponsor of terror in the world is not a good idea. I mean, the UN is so utterly useless that its abolition is an idea whose time has come. And it's good that America historically has been a strong ally of Israel, and I think we reject that position at our own peril. Because Israel remains not just our greatest ally, but I think the way that we handle the Israeli conflict is a test of the theology of the church. And I have never been more opposed to intellectually bankrupt replacement theology than I am today. And I think it's super important for folks, even in my generation, to be reintroduced into a strong theological position that sees the importance and the uniqueness of the role that Israel plays in our eschatological future. And so praying, obviously, for wisdom for the leaders in that part of the world, but believing that this is going to be a strategic time for Israel to leverage its military, and in doing so, ensure its posterity.
Well, let me ask you this, Russell, since you brought it up about your generation. Before we go, I want to show you this John Kirby clip. But before I do, what about you? You know, you mentioned your generation. Where has this fallen apart? Is it that the previous generation didn't do a good job training your generation? Or have we fallen down? Where has been the disconnect?
I think that there's just been, it's both and. I mean, I think to some degree it's a lack of curiosity for people in my generation to explore eschatological topics, whether that was more of a focus in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the late great planet Earth and the Jesus people movement and this idea that Christ could return at any time. And that is not so much, you know, the theological focus amongst people in my age bracket, but what that has led to is kind of like this nonchalant, you know, c'est la vie eschatology of like, well, it is what it is, and it doesn't really matter, and there's nothing really we can ever do about it, and, you know, at the end of the day, you know, kind of who cares? It's almost like this eschatology of fatalism. And so I think part of it is that, you know, we haven't really been properly taught. I think part of it is that some of the key voices that communicated about the importance of the Middle East and the importance of Israel were last generation, and we don't have as many of those voices amongst my generation. But, you know, what I found is that, you know, when you love God, you will love the things that God loves. And for me, visiting Israel several years ago for the very first time was a very transformational experience. Because when you get to the Holy Land and you see the places where Christ walked and the stories of Scripture come alive, it gives you a love for the things that God loves. And we know, for God so loved the world, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we want people of all stars and stripes to come into the kingdom. In fact, sounds like in just a few weeks we'll be hosting the son of the founder of Hamas at our church, who is now today a born-again Christian. And so, you know, we want to reach people wherever they're at. But the reality is even in our backyard in Seattle, University of Washington, you got all these young people having pro-Hamas rallies on campus because there is such bad training and teaching on the top of Israel today.
Let me launch that over to you, Pastor Hank. You hear what Pastor Russell's saying, and quite elegantly. Tell me what you think about where not just his generation, but our generation. It's been shocking to me how many church people are, you know, out there with their Palestine flag with total disregard to anything Israel or what their upbringing was. What happened?
You know, there's been an ignorance, really, to be honest with you. And we have to also be reminded that it seems like whenever something happens in the earth, you know, especially when Israel's involved, that for whatever reason, Israel becomes a scapegoat, becomes the blame. Now, that's not to say that Israel doesn't have fault and Israel has, you know, not always done everything correct. But the key is because God is connected to Israel, they often get the blame for things. And we must keep that in mind. But to the pastor's point, we have to remember something. David was a young warrior that came in his generation. And he came out to a war that was happening, and there was a Goliath that was speaking very bold and continually for 40 days, nonstop, with great fear that the whole nation was paralyzed. And it was a young man, David, that fought for his God and fought for his country. But here's what David had to do. He had to leave the sheepfold. And I'm telling you, there's a younger generation that's going to have to leave the mindset of a lot of these woke churches, these user-friendly churches, these pastors that won't speak out and do things if they're really going to stand for God in their country. And the other thing that happened is when he did finally go out, he got blamed by his elder brother, the spirit of the elder brother on the church, where he told David, Eliab, you go back to the sheepfold. It's all about the sheep. Don't get involved in politics. And that's really the spirit that has been among many today. But I believe this, there's a young generation rising, as well as an older generation of the Joshua Caleb spirit that is not only going to fight for Israel, but fight with God and see this earth have a global reset and a reversal that God can bring a great awakening to give Jesus the harvest that he deserves.
Amen. Well, I'm all for that. I know you are too. All right, let me move along here because I got so much stuff to get to, and we have Victor Marks coming up here in just a few minutes. Speaking of hostages, we talked about them earlier. I want to show you this clip from John Kirby where he was referring to the remaining hostages. Watch.
We talk a lot about the hostages. There are several hundred American citizens that are currently in Gaza. To the point made by Sammy there, what is the disconnect right now? When will they be allowed out?
I wish I could tell you date certain, time certain. We want to get them out. We want to make sure that they have safe passage out. And we are working very, very hard, both with the Israelis and with the Egyptians, to get to that outcome. Right now, of course, you've seen some humanitarian assistance flow in, but we have not forgotten the plight of those hundreds of Americans that are on the other side of that Rafah crossing. We know they want to get home and get out, and we want to help them get out, and we are working on that very, very hard.
You've been working on that very, very hard for several days now. They've oftentimes gotten messages about specific windows when they can leave that fell apart. Is there any sense that working will end up with an outcome soon?
That's what we're working towards. I wish I could tell you for sure, but this is hard stuff.
It's hard stuff. All right, let's go over to let me show you this where he talks about the hostages being released. Watch.
CNN has learned that the U.S. has intelligence right now that Iranian-backed militia groups are planning to further ramp up attacks against American forces in the Middle East. What is the Biden administration prepared to do to combat this?
Well, without speaking to a specific intelligence, this is something we've been watching very, very closely. In fact, today we were very clear publicly that we know Iran's backing these groups. We know that they're giving them the means, the resources, training, the encouragement, and direct contacts with the IRGC, the Quds Forces at Will, the Revolutionary Guard, to conduct these attacks on our troops. We will do what we have to do to protect our forces and our facilities in the region. That will continue, and we sent a strong signal to Iran through the additional military capabilities that, that we're putting in the region, that we have national security interests writ large across that region, and we're going to protect and defend them as well.
So is a U.S. war against Iran possible?
I think what we want to see more than anything, Wolf, is no widening of this conflict, no deepening of it. And we continue to send a strong message to actors in the region, including Iran, that if you're thinking about jumping in here, you're thinking about deepening and widening and escalating, don't do it. We will take our national security interests very, very seriously in the region, and we've added to the military capabilities to make sure that we can do that.
We don't want any widening. If that was kind of turn, Rick, I mean, that was about as milquetoast of a response as you can get. I wouldn't even say that qualifies as politically diplomatic. I mean, we don't want any, you know, are you, is it just me or whenever I see John Kirby, I feel like he's lying?
Gene, listen, they're teaching a master class. The problem is the master class is on how to leave Americans behind and how to increase conflict around the world by showing weakness. You know, and every bit of this goes back to what Russell said earlier, when the church loses its voice, the nation loses its mind, or the world loses its mind. And Russell, I love that. I'm going to give you credit for it one time. That's it. From now on, I'm stealing it. I mean, that is, he's exactly right. And even the University of Washington and every other university across the country, the answer to your previous question about where we went wrong, why these kids are you know, standing for Palestine instead of for Israel, it's the universities. That's where it was taught for the last two generations. And we lost those two generations on this issue because of the poison at the universities being taught to them. And the other thing is we have this mindset that trying is...
Whoops. YouTube said, oh, yeah, you're going to mess around? Well, then we'll just go ahead and get rid of it for you. That's too funny. All right, well, that's enough of that. I didn't want to spend my whole night on that.
I wanted to hear about the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, I don't see the Speaker of the House in that. But it's okay because, we wanted to just hear some good word from Brother Gene. Father, we bless Flashpoint, Brother Gene Bailey. We bless Brother Lance Walnow and Rick and Brother Hank. And what's this other pastor's name? God bless that young man. That's a good man right there.
Yeah.
God bless that young man and bless ministry and bless men, young men like him to rise up and to put themselves, listen to that statement, and to put themselves under wiser, older, elder leaders so that they can be led to conquer effectively.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Now, we did all that and managed to get out without being stopped. If you didn't hear about it, we do have a new Speaker of the House today. His name is Mike Johnson. Is that what it is? Mike Johnson? I think that's what it is, Mike Johnson. I think that's what it is.
Yes, Mike Johnson.
Mike Johnson.
Do you want to hear his first speech?
No, we don't have time for that. Because as soon as you start, you're going to listen to the whole thing, and it's like 18 minutes long, and that's the end. I won't even get to preach. I got to be able to teach and preach today. So the next thing I want to talk about is, let's talk about what you got last night from the End Times Q&A. Now, I know Sister Leanne was talking about it. I listened to the program last night while I was driving. And she was talking about what she got out of it. But I'd be interested in hearing what all y'all, some y'all got out of it. All y'all, some y'all? Any y'all? Because I think one of the things I got out of it is we are knocking on the door, get everybody born again that you can possibly get born again.
Oh my.
And get it done now. All right? Get it done now. Why? Because this thing, we are knocking on the door of eternity. And I think the other great thing I got last night that I've never received before, and that is not everyone is the bride of Christ. Wasn't that an amazing revelation?
Okay, so that was a revelation to you too, because I heard it and I was like, really? We always thought everyone that went in the rapture was the bride of Christ.
Wait, everyone that goes in the rapture, the catching away when Jesus meets him in the cloud, that's the bride of Christ because they're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now.
Oh, okay.
And now, go ahead.
I heard about that, you know, and I'm thinking the same thing. I thought, well, wait a minute. All right, now, who is the bride of Christ?
Yeah.
You know, that was my question, and I always thought I knew, but I didn't know squat.
Well,
you know, I like to learn.
So let's do this, all right? I wanted to grab this verse, so you ready? Let's do it. Let's go right to the Bible. We know that... Hold on. We know that when Jesus comes, we're all going in the rapture of the church. And if you want to get real religious, the church, the rapture of the church. kind of have to do a little something different. But let's go over here. Hold on. Let me say, I opened up Dr. Hilton Sutton's notepad book here. He's got some excellent notes, and I knew that there was something I was dealing with, and then I just ate supper and fell asleep on the couch for a minute. And I'll get right here to it. So go with me to Revelation 21. Revelation 21.
All right.
Are you there?
I'm there.
Hold up your Bible and make this declaration with me. Yeah, you beat me there. All right, Revelation, and let's go to 21. And then we start right at the top. Yeah, start right at the top, and let's read down through 7. Want to read it?
1 to 7,
yeah.
I was looking for that page to the same line right up. Anyway, yes, and I saw, can you people hear me? Hi, Tracy.
Tracy McSwain, hi.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city near Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God.
New Jerusalem.
Yeah. Did I say?
Near.
New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Hallelujah. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
All right. So remember, you. Now, no matter what we do, no matter what you've always believed, no matter what I've always believed, it don't matter. We always come back to what does the Bible say, all right? The Bible says in Revelation 21, 2, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, you can't mistake what that just said. That's very plain. The New Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. All right? You and I know we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb, we have always said, was going to be during the 7 years of tribulation. All right, which is what Dr. Barclay said. Now, I would like someone to put a verse up that shows that marriage supper of the Lamb is during the 7 year tribulation. Where does it say in the Bible that the marriage supper of the Lamb is during the tribulation? Now, I'm just letting you do it, and I'm just everybody get involved, and everybody get involved. And do some spiritual digging. Now, let's see. Revelation 19. And let's go down here saying, reading. Verse 17. No. Revelation 19:6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. All right? Now, you and I should be saying that every day. But let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. You ready? For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, the saints are you and I who go in the rapture, the catching away of the church at the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation. Those in the middle of the tribulation are those who are underneath the altar. There's some underneath the altar saying, how long? Yeah. And then there'll be a catching up of those who are still alive at the midpoint of the tribulation. But those aren't going to be considered saints. Those are going to be like those plucked out of the fire with their clothes still on fire because they missed the rapture. They didn't have enough oil in their lamp. Two were in the bed and one was taken and one was left. Two were in the field and one was taken and one was left. Two were at the middle and one was taken and one was left. Two thieves on the cross. One went to paradise and one went to hell. So that's that 50-50 rule. All right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm in Revelation 19:9. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these things are true sayings. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said, hey, dude, don't do that. All right? Just don't do that. And where is that verse that says, where the angel said, do you want me to show you the Lamb? Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All right, now. So. You and I can see that the holy city of which we're going to be a part of, all right, very much the bride. The holy city was prepared as a bride, and she was adorned for her husband. Well, what was her husband? Who is her husband? Her husband is Jesus, all right? And he's the groom. And the righteous acts of the saints adorn the city. Now, let's add another verse of scripture to this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hey, that's a beautiful sound. The snowplow. Coming to clear the drift out of the driveway so we can get in and out without getting stuck. Of course, you know, the road out here, you get stuck driving down the road, but hey, here we go. 1 Corinthians 3. Now look at this. Verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3, 5. Now, and that's what I've heard too, Tracy. And then I've heard people say it's all 7 years of the tribulation. It's a marriage feast that lasts for 7 years.
Hallelujah. You won't gain any weight there.
Yeah, you won't gain any weight. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. So look up 1 Corinthians 3:5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe? As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. 7. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now follow me. He who plants and he who waters are one. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. When you get to heaven, it ain't about what anybody else has done. It's about what you've done. Remember, you and I are going to be judged for every idle word we've ever spoken. You and I are going to be judged for every penny that has ever been in our hand to preach the gospel or to do something ourselves. That's why it's so important to learn how to say, wait, is this my seed or is this my feed? And nobody can tell you that except Jesus. See, that's why you got to build a relationship with God Almighty, and you've got to walk one with him every single day of your life, because you want to be able to say, wait, I'm not going to eat my seed, and I'm not going to plant my bread. Do you know that if you take a piece of bread out and stick it in the ground, it's not going to grow wheat?
Not going to grow.
It won't. So let's keep reading. Verse 9, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So we're fellow workers, we're a field, and we're a building. Well, that matches Matthew chapter 13 and all the chapters about the parable of the soil. Sower's going to sow the seed, but how's your soil? Will it accept the seed? Or do you have hard things, bitterness? Do you have choking things, weeds? Do you have the cares of this world? That's the choking things. Or is your life just beaten down hard with people trampling all over it with the spirit of religion? Got to get yourself free. Verse 11. No other foundation can be anyone lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 12. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. But it's that day, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through the fire. Do you not know that through the temple of God, the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Whose temple you are. I just said, if you defile the temple, you're going to get destroyed. Don't defile the temple. Pastor, I'm defiling it every day. I don't know what to do. I do. Get out of your personal efforts of trying to be good. It doesn't matter how good you am, you is or you are, you will never be good enough to make it to Jesus' righteousness. Because our human efforts don't get us to the righteousness. Receiving the free gift of righteousness gets us to the righteousness. Wait, some of you need to say, Pastor, just keep saying it. I am going to get it sooner or later. But I mean, like, really. I mean, like, really, you need to say it, because some of you are not getting it yet. You are getting it. You really are getting it. I will help you get this before Jesus comes. Why? Because it is of absolute importance that you and I. Hey, Gail Blunt's with us.
Hi, Gail.
Woo! Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We got a speaker of the house. I don't know if you heard it. Glory be to God. Man of God who carried his own Bible up to be sworn in on. Now,
and open with prayer.
And open with prayer. Now, here we go. So, the marriage. Now, what happens here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is when you and I get to heaven, our works are tried by fire. Your works are not tried by my works. My works are not tried by your works. Your works are tried by fire. That's why I keep saying to everybody that listens to me, stop.
Stop.
Letting the spirit of religion control you. Why? Because the spirit of religion will make you think religious, act religious, talk religious, and that's all you're going to be is religious. Jesus don't want you religious. He wants you righteous. He wants you filled with the Holy Spirit of God, casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead, freely you have received, freely give. He wants that when you drive through town speaking life, 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 into every place where you go, life and life more abundantly, when you drive down the street past the witch's house, it just stops and cancels everything that she does or he does. So you got to run to the window to see what car just went by, because something just canceled everything I was trying to get done. Because when you stand before Jesus, he's not going to ask you about me, the community of faith. He's not going to ask about anybody else's name except yours. Therefore, when you find a therefore, what do? You find out what it's there for. Therefore, make sure every day, all day long, you're doing something that is sowing a seed into other people's lives. It's getting uncanny how this happens. Because literally, I started out with a $5 bill in my pocket. And I got like five or six of them. And people would be doing something. I'd give them a $5 bill. I'd just turn around and say, hey, I'm going to give this guy $5 for his next stuff he's buying. And I do it. And the one gas station, I do it so much, they just smile when I do it. Because then the people look at it like the guy behind the counter, like, what's up? And he just smiles. They're like, this guy does it all the time. Just say that. Why? Because when I'm out driving, I can speak life, but I want to get where I'm blessing people.
And it gets people's attention when you say God wants to bless you, and you do that, they start going, wow.
I walked in the same story the other day. Walked in the door, and there's a lady with her daughter there. They look just alike. And they're picking up stuff. I went to the cash register and I just had one drink, bought my drink. And when I did, at this store, I can get cash back. And when I walked in the door, the Holy Spirit said, bless that lady. And so I kind of walked around until it looked like they were about finished. And when I turned around, they started walking toward the counter. And the mom's hands were full. So she couldn't let go of anything. So I just took that $20 bill, stuck it right in. She had something in her hand. So it kind of fit right here underneath of her thumb. I stuck that $20 bill right there. I said, God told me to bless you when I walked in this store. Have a good day. And as I walked out, I turned and looked at the daughter. She was about 14. That daughter was standing there with her jaw just. And I looked at the mom, and she had that smile on her face like, yes, thank you, Jesus. That's exactly what my daughter needed to see, is that God will bless you. So what did I do? I solidified something that mom had been saying to that daughter. I had no idea. I just obeyed God. But see, those are the kind of things that we get to do, that on the other side produce a jewel in her crown, and that crown is what you lay at Jesus' feet when we all bow before him. You don't want to bow before Jesus and have a Burger King crown. Whether we're the bride of Christ and we're in the city, or we're the what adorns the city, or it comes down out of heaven, it doesn't really matter, because I guarantee you when we get there, we're going to be in the right place at the right time doing the right thing with the right people. Amen. And Jesus will make sure we're in the right line.
Amen.
Now, one person said when we get to heaven during the 7-year tribulation, that's when we go to school to learn how it really is. And the Baptists and the Methodists and the Charismaniacs all learn how to come together and say, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. Can I get an amen out of anybody?
Amen.
Did we solve anything tonight?
No. Oh. Wow, really? You need coffee? Gail, close your windows. There's snow in there.
All right. Now, you and I have got to quit worrying about the bride of Christ. Somebody's going to throw something at me like, somebody smite that man. Well, here's the thing. There's a whole lot of people that said, I'm the bride, but then they want to sit around and look pretty. And you know, the bride is only the bride the day of the wedding.
And after.
Because before the day of the wedding, she is the bride espoused getting ready for the wedding. Right?
Right.
So you don't ever see a bride and the bridesmaid run around in their wedding dresses, getting the fellowship hall all figured out, getting the decorations all put together. They don't have that wedding dress on. Why? Because it'll tarnish that wedding dress. It'll get it all dirty. Besides that, she won't be able to get anything done because the wedding dress is just designed to make himself look pretty. So right now, you and I, you know, right now we are the army of God. Right now, we are the body of the Christ. See, right now, we're not in the bride situation right now. We're in the groom. We are of the body of the groom. We are the body of Christ. Christ is the groom. We are the body of the groom right now. Get yourself busy and go conquer right now while we're on this earth. I know Dr. Barclay said that last night, and I was kind of coming and going from sleep. I really tried to sleep last night, but it didn't work too good. Dr. Barclay was on talking about end times, and it was a question and answer session, and I really wanted to be live, and I just ended up having to do a whole bunch of stuff all day long and didn't get no sleep. And it's like, how do you go to sleep when the pastor's up there talking and saying some really good stuff, you know? Anyways, one of the things he said is, you and I got to occupy. So let's go there. Luke 17. Luke 17. I like Luke 17 because that's the one that says that it's better for a millstone to be hung around somebody's neck than they offend one of them little ones.
And look what they have done.
Long walk off a short pier with a heavy rock tied to your foot. That's what God said. That's what Jesus said. But so we're not going to 17. We're going to 19. Amen, Brother Roger. Bless you, man. I thought somebody said hi to Richard.
Everybody's probably said hi to Richard.
Good evening, Brother Richard.
Oh, I said hi to him. He was the first one here.
He was the first one here. Brother Richard is the one that gets to sing When the Saints Come Marching In. Take it away, brother.
He's passing out the brochures as people come in the door. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Brother Richard. God bless you. Doing a good job of greeting tonight. Go with me to Luke 19. Now watch this. Oh, that's pretty cool. I'm sure I've seen that before, but Luke 19 is not only is it the parable of the minas, but it is also the story of Zacchaeus. Now, watch this. You got to see this about God. What's the title for tonight? God is good all the time. With that kind of a title, I can hit 87 different subjects, and I won't be seen as scatterbrain. I'd just be like, what did he do tonight? He had a shotgun. He was just double out buckshot going on. You know? But I love the story of Zacchaeus because the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what must I do? Jesus said, well, do the commandments. He said, well, I've already done them. Jesus said, oh, really? Then go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. Jesus was setting up a replacement for Judas. the rich young ruler would keep the bag, like, you know. And the rich young ruler went away and like, well, and he went away sorrowful, and it hurt Jesus. Well, it didn't hurt him, but, you know. Amen. Amen. Well, that's good, brother. Just keep listening, man. Just keep listening. We ain't going to make you preach until it's time, but then we will make you preach. Anyways, but do you notice that Jesus didn't tell Zacchaeus to give half of what he had to the poor? Now, I wasn't going to read it, but we might as well just go ahead and read it because it's just the Bible, right? Or it is the Bible. So watch what Jesus did here. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector. He's the head of the IRS. And he was rich because IRS agents get rich because they steal people's money with lots of taxes. Lord have mercy. Okay, I don't know any IRS agents have done it. And it was just a colloquial joke that is made about IRS agents, all right?
Yes.
I don't have anybody in mind, and I'm sure they're all very noble and very wonderful people. Back to the Bible. Verse 3, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, because he was a little short dude. And verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Can you get my sycamore tree branch for me? For he was coming to pass that way. Now, long time ago, when the earth was green, there's more kind of animals. Anyways, I was in the tree business. And this is not a camouflage walking stick, except that's what this is a camouflage walking stick. What's cool about this camouflage walking stick is it came right out of a tree. This is a Zacchaeus tree. This is a Michigan sycamore. Isn't that cool looking tree? And I was working on the ground, and hey, Braden, how you doing, buddy? Good to have you with us. I was working on the ground, and I had my chainsaw. I'm like, look at there, that's a nice walking stick right there. And I cut off that end. Not very straight. And then I cut off this end. And it's a little better. And made myself a walking stick. I did this in 2003. And look at that. That bark is still sticking to that piece of wood. And wait, the cool thing about a sycamore tree is a sycamore tree has big, huge branches like this big around. And they're not tight together. They're big and open. So when Zacchaeus climbed up in the sycamore tree, it was open so that when Jesus walked by, he's going to be able to see it. Now, this is my question. If he's short, how'd he get up the sycamore tree?
Stepped on somebody's camel?
He might have been good.
Or, yeah.
He just went up the tree. But don't you love Jesus? And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. He realized that there's no other place in the Bible where Jesus was looking up into the trees. Jesus went by the fig tree and cursed it because it didn't have figs. But he didn't walk around looking up trees trying to find people. Why? Because most people sought him on the ground, not up in the air. You're welcome, Braden. Love you, buddy.
We love you.
Love you too, Scott. And Bryn and Walter.
And Olivia.
And Olivia. Love all y'all. And the dog's name? Scout?
Hunter.
Hunter. Now watch. And he looked up and said to him, hey, Zach, come down here. I'm going to your house. And Zacchaeus, I think he had like a big tax collector robe on. He just jumped out and parachuted down. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now, look at what Zacchaeus said, verse 7. When they saw it, they all complained, saying, he's gone to be a guest with the house of the man who's a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I will give half of my goods to the poor, And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore it fourfold. Jesus didn't tell Zacchaeus to give half of what he had. Zacchaeus gave half of what he had because he was glad when he met Jesus. Light came, life came, blessing came, and that's what all of us should see. The very first thing that should happen when you become a Christian is you become an immediate giver. Why? God so loved the world that he gave. Wait, that's not so that you can give in the next offering at the church building. It's God so loved the world that he gave, and he gives 24/7, 365. Find a way to give something, even if it's a kind word, if it's a loving hug, if it's a handshake, if it's a fist bump, it don't matter. Find a way to give something. Yesterday, I was at the truck stop getting fuel. No, I wasn't. I was at the truck stop getting deaf, which is a violation of all human intelligence, but truck won't run without it. So I'm there, and I'm getting it, and I see a man over there, and I've been seeing this man. He drives the same company I do. You know, we're driving side by side. I went over there and I'm like, hey, dude, man, you got this fuel card because you need it. You saved good money. And he's like, I don't know. Let me see it. So I get it out and he goes, oh, yeah, I got that. I'm like, well, right down there at the Holiday, you can save 40 cents a gallon. And he's like, wow. And he sticks his hand out and gave me knuckles. And I said, you a believer? He said, yes, I am. And he gave me some more knuckles. And I'm like, are you a tither? And he just looked at me. And I said, you know, you give 10% to your church. He goes, oh, yeah, I do that. He gave me knuckles again. And I said, God bless you, brother. Be safe out there. What did you give? I gave love. I gave support. I gave encouragement. What am I doing? I'm sowing it as a seed. Whether or not he looks at me as a big brother, maybe he sees me as a pastor. I don't know what he sees me as. I'm just out there. I'm just a truck driver. I'm another guy in the truck, you know. And but what did I do? I just find a way to give. Find a way. Treat everybody like they're a believer. Treat them like they're a believer. Well, Pastor, what if they're a dirty dog sinner? They'll tell you real quick. I said to a guy the other day, I'm like, are you an angel? He goes, whoa, no. No, I'm a long ways from an angel. I'm like, well, so you know what? What you're doing for me right now is a major blessing, so thank you very much. I appreciate it. Now watch. We're almost to the parable of the minas where I started to go 15 minutes ago. But remember, our title for tonight is, God is good all the time. Yes, Roger, we do have 6 inches of snow out here, probably on our way to about 12 or 14 or 16. And it's all right. We'll have it all because it'll cover up all them nasty ghosts and goblins stupidity that people put in their yard and then wonder why their life goes to hell when they act like hell. Jesus said in verse 9, today salvation has come to this house because he's the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was lost, not found. Jesus said, I don't come for the well. I came for the sick. I came to find those that were lost. I'm preaching better than you're staring or even throwing stuff. But it's all right. Throw it because it can't hurt me and I'll throw it back. The parable of the minas. Because this takes us back to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the city adorned in white robes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 when our works are tried by fire. Listen, if you know what you're going to be judged for on the other side, make a decision today to do the things that cause God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. If you know that's what you're going to be judged for over there, then quit wandering around looking like you're lost in a like more like a goose in the fog.
You don't want to be the goose in the fog.
You don't want to be the goose in the gog, all right? You don't want to be that guy. My dad might be getting a new Harley. All right, here we go. Look at this verse. Now look at these verses. This is Luke 19, 11 through 27. All right? This is the last thing Jesus taught before he went in at the triumphal entry. As they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Watch. 12. Therefore, he said, certain noblemen went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That's Jesus. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again. And when I come again, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Comfort one another with these words. Right? John chapter 14. And then in John chapter 14, he says, and these things I'm doing, you're going to do, and greater than I'm going to do, because I'm going to go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. So start asking God for some things in his name. Amen! I don't know if you can tell, but I've missed preaching for a couple of days here. So if I'm coming on strong and it's blowing you back in your seat, well, you know, just hold on. Tighten your seatbelt up a little bit. Pastor, I don't have a seatbelt on my recliner. Well, you might need to get one when you listen to this program. You never know. Verse 13. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business until I come. Those words, do business till I come, actually means do the business of trading until I come. Are we going to have a class on trading? Yes, we're going to be buying penny stocks by Monday afternoon, so get ready to learn.
Dan's going
to
be teaching.
No, you trade whatever it is God gives you to trade. And remember what he said, when you give, it's going to be given unto you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men are going to give into your bosom. Hallelujah. 14, his citizens hated him. Sent a delegation after him saying, we'll not have this man around us. So it was when he returned, having received the kingdom. He then commanded these servants, whom he had given the money to be called, that he might know how much every mina had gained by trading. So he said, by trading again. Jesus wants you doing something in business and trading and taking what you got and making something of it. Well, Pastor, I just don't have enough sense to do that. Don't you know? I'm kind of dumb and that kind of stuff. No, you got the Holy Spirit of God, and he lives on the inside of you. So you can't call yourself dumb anymore, because you're telling us all, if you're saying you're dumb, you're going to tell us that you don't know how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You ain't dumb.
Amen.
No, wait. I know last week I was using the stupid word a lot, but that was just from influence. Remember what it says? You're going to act like those you run around with? If you run around with those that use the stupid word, you're likely to start using it. So don't do that. Don't use the stupid word. Here we go. Look at what it says. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. This guy gets to be over 10 cities. Anybody want to say, wow? Yeah, I do. And the second man came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5. And likewise, he said to him, you also are over 5 cities. And the other man came saying, Master, here is your mina, which I kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you because you are an austere man, and you collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. That, how many know that's a lie about Jesus? That ain't true about Jesus. But you understand that?
I think he's saying his dad is on the live
stream. Oh, your dad's on the live stream. All right.
He's at his mom.
Oh, I got you. I got you. That's cool, Braden. It's good to have you with us tonight, buddy. I'm in Luke chapter 19. Now watch. And this guy's like, I just hid your talent. You're mina. I didn't do anything with it. I brought it back to you and because you're mean. And the man said, and Jesus isn't mean. He's just talking about Jesus. He's isn't mean. Jesus isn't going to reap where he hasn't sowed. Jesus is always going to sow first before he reaps. 22. And he said to him, out of your own mouth, I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with at least interest?
Amen. Hi, Scott. We love you.
Hi, Scott. We love you. Sign in and say hi to your son. Amen. 24, and he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. They said unto him, Master, he already has 10 minas. And Jesus said, do what I told you to do. For I say to you, to everyone who has will more be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want to reign over them, and slay them before me. And that's talking about the end of the world. You and I are supposed to be occupying until he comes. And here's the cool part about it. There ain't nobody on the face of this earth that can tell you yes or no to what you're supposed to be doing. God gives you and I the Holy Spirit. He comes to live on the inside of us and lead us from the inside out. One person said, I just don't ever hear God's voice. How many of you have ever said that? I don't hear God's voice effectively. How many said that this week? Wait, do you know that when we say that, we're admitting to the fact that we don't read the Bible? Because this is God's voice. And if you want to be able to hear God's voice effectively, all you got to do is just read the Bible. And if you'll read this Bible enough, guess what will happen? You'll be able to hear God's voice. Why? Because this is his voice. This is a more sure word of prophecy, which we just read right back there in the end of the book, in the book of Revelation. That's what it said. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And this is the testimony of Jesus. This is the living word of God. This book, when you read it, especially if you'll read it out loud or turn on, like, read the word and let that be read out loud. You know, there's some actors that have read the Bible. I don't know that I would listen to that. Because if they haven't been born again and they're reading to you the Bible, what's the spirit of it? Why are they doing it? To make money? Fine, listen to your pastor read the Bible. I'm reading the Bible out loud. It's on YouTube. It don't cost you a single penny. Go there and listen to it. This week, on the one night, Sister Leanne played for us, by my request, John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. That's one of them read the words. That ought to have 10,000 views by now. Why? Because those are probably the four most important five most important chapters in the whole New Testament. And in all of Jesus' life. Because that's the Last Supper. And God bless everybody. I'm going to bed. Everybody ready? Let's pray for Braden. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless Braden right now. Thank you that he loves to come and be here and hear the word preached and be with us. And Thank you, Lord, that as he sleeps tonight in a dream and a vision of the night, while deep sleep falls on him, may he sleep so deep and so peacefully and have those wonderful, amazing technicolor dreams from God. Amen. Where he sees his future, what you want him to do, and has those dreams that will carry him all the way into his adult life and through into eternity. Amen. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. We bless this home. We bless his mom. We bless Scott and the family there. We declare in the mighty name of Jesus the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen and amen. Love you, buddy. That's amazing. Didn't he have a birthday?
Yeah, the third.
Did we sing happy birthday to him? Happy birthday to you, Braden. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Bridger. Happy birthday to you. And just for you, buddy. You know, you cannot hear that pop like that.
Really?
No, it didn't even make a noise.
Well, we're shooting off poppers for you, Braden. We'll bring some with you when we come.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Braden is my grandson, everyone, just so don't think it's some stranger from the gas station that wandered in.
Amen. Now, back to the parable of the mina. Don't worry, I ain't losing my place. God is good all the time, and all the time God's good. What's the point of all this? You and I are the bride of Christ. We have the opportunity to be the bride of Christ. Well, that's someday in the future. That ain't right now. Right now, we're the body of Christ. Right now, we are the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We are members of the body of Christ. He's the head, and we are the body. All right. I can tell I got to do something, because this is what you're going to be judged from right here. This parable of the minus, occupy thy come, you and I are going to be judged for that on the other side. And you can't look and say, well, Pastor Sam did this. And he'll say, well, I know. What did you do to help him? What did you do alongside of him? What did you do once you heard him say what he did? What did you do? Do you remember what verse of scripture I was going to?
Oh, going to? No.
Well, you're the wife. You remember everything.
I was busy putting Braden to bed.
It's the next level up from this. So we got you there, and we know that we're going to be judged, and we're going to be judged, and we want to be faithful when we're being judged, and we don't want to be judged, and we're going to be blessed. So we're going to be blessed when we're judged. Where was that going? Holy Spirit? Well, let's just pause and pray in the Holy Ghost. Someone this shit by Makata Nisida. And I'm Masakita Beneva de Mandu, the Sinami, the Kadiba, and the Modi Dava, the Shima, and the Sipi. Oh, I got it. It doesn't matter what you are, who you are, or what you do. Everywhere you go, just like Jesus said to the disciples, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, freely you have received, freely give. That is our assignment, whether you're a truck driver. We own a trucking company. Brother Dan does. Brother Richard is. And Brother Roger was. And James and Felicia Eicher, truck driving company. Matter of fact, James just got an award for 2 million miles. That's a lot of miles. I think it was 2.
It was
so good job.
Miles, yeah.
Good job, brother. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. And Brother Ken Brombaugh is a truck driver, and Dave Godby is a truck driver, Gary West is a truck driver. And tonight, Jerem, he's a truck driver. He's with us tonight. God bless you, Jerem. Got a lot of truck driving brothers out here tonight. And we're about to start a truck driving ministry where we minister to them. But anyways, what was that going? No matter where you are or who you are, the assignment is still the same. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Well, Pastor, what if no demons show up tonight? Then if no demon shows up, keep speaking life and life more abundantly until guess what will happen? A demon will show up. Why? Because when you speak the abundant life from John 10:10, it ain't too long. And the devil's like, you can't let that guy loose. Look at him. He's speaking life everywhere he goes. I love it. I got to open the door to my semi last night. I was on the one site, opened the door, and there was 26 frack trucks. They were all running wide open, fracking. And, of course, you ain't nobody hearing nothing. And I opened the door, and I was like, I speak life over everybody on that site. Why? I want them all to find Jesus. Can I get an amen? I want them all to find Jesus. Why? Because God is doing a mighty, mighty work. God is doing a mighty work. And all he needs is for you and I to get busy every day doing what it is he's given us to do. I love it because I don't have to tell you what to do. You read this book and read this book and read this book. And when you're not reading the book, when you're driving down the road, put on Read the Word so you get some more of the Word in you. And you'll get so accurate at hearing God's voice, not just in these ears, but right down in here where he lives. And you'll come home every day with a testimony. Man, I just love doing this. Look at what God did. And I was doing that, and look at what God did. And I was doing this, and look at what God did. Amen?
Amen.
And then I was driving a Honda. It wasn't like a Harley. No, see, our assignment is to cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, freely you have received, freely give. That's our assignment. Now, where did I tell you to go? I didn't, did I? Matthew chapter 9 is where we're going. Anybody that was spiritual should have already got that. Now, Dr. Barclay's got one more really amazing morning session from last week that we'll do this coming week. And it's about the gifts of the Spirit. It's about flowing in the Spirit. And, man, it's really good. And great teaching, line upon line teaching on it. And from somebody that's a master at it. And so stick with us one of these nights this next week. You'll get that. Now, let's go down here to Matthew 9. And let's go to verse 27. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen. And I love it because he tells us very specifically what we're going to be judged for on the other side. That's a good God. And since we already know what we're going to be judged for on the other side, now all we got to do is just do that. Just do what it is and do it and do it well. Do it with the greatest of excellence. Excellence isn't perfection. Excellence is I'm better today than I was yesterday. I'm more fine-tuned today than I was yesterday. I know I used that word yesterday, but I'm going to use this word today. Why? Because what is it doing? It's taking us and saying, no, I'm going to be like him, and he lives in me, and I'm going to be more perfect every single day of my life. You know, Jesus said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And there's a whole lot of people like, well, there ain't no perfect human on the earth and nowhere. Well, yeah, no, that's not what Jesus just said. He said, be perfect. So So don't take the perfect word away.
Amen.
Hello? You see, what people want to be like, well, that means you'll do everything absolutely right and never make a mistake and never, and never, 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 and always, 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 and never, never, always, always, never, never, always, never, always. No, no, get out of that. You're going to wake up today and do good. And then wake up tomorrow and do better. How many of you noticed that your perfect today is much greater than it was the first day you came to Jesus? But Jesus said about you the first day you came to him that you were perfect. You were so perfect the first day you came to him, he gave you his blood and it purged all your sins. He gave you his righteousness and it was imputed into you. He told you to have the Holy Spirit come and live within you. And you receive the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. And then he said, I'm going to make you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. One guy said to me the other day, like, Pastor, I didn't do anything for that. That's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. You don't get to do anything to get your salvation. Once you're saved, now it's your responsibility to do some things. Not to be seen by man, not to earn your salvation, but so on the other side, you have a crown that you can lay before Jesus. And self-righteousness and self-bigotedness and self-anything is not going to be blessed and rewarded. It's going to go up in smoke. Fire hits it. The works will be tried by fire. Now, it says there will be people that will suffer complete loss, and they won't have anything except a pile of ashes, but their robes are white, and they must have had enough oil to get into the rapture, and they made it in, and because their robes are white and they made it in, they get to be in heaven, even though they don't have a crown. There's some people who their crown is huge. Because on the last day of their life, they found God and they told everybody around them everywhere about it. I love what Mary did with Don. Mary Pasterick did with Don's bookmark and put it in a bookmark and sent it out to as many people as she could. I saw God and he's a superstar. Mm-hmm. Amen. Here's Don crossing over to the other side and he's preaching on them final days. And now in the book, in the bookmarks, everywhere they might be, he's preaching. And now Mary's in heaven with him. You turkey Mary, what'd you go so early for? But we love
it. Saw something.
Wasn't it cool last night she was on the video?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Thank God for it. Now, where am I at? Did anybody know? Read any verses?
So we made it to Matthew 9.
Oh, Matthew 9. Oh yeah, Matthew 9:27. Here's where we're at. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus didn't walk around with a big sign saying, I'm the healer, please come to me. No, he had so much of God on the inside, people were automatically drawn to him. And when he come into the house, that's his house, the blind men came to him and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes saying, well, according to your faith, let it be to you. Do you realize that's all the prayer that you and I have to pray anytime, any day? Yep. Hey, Pastor, what happens if I pray and it don't work? It's not about if you pray and don't work. What it's about is that you pray and it does work. If you pray, it worked, whether or not they received it. Let's keep reading. According to your faith, it be unto you. Verse 30, and their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him all over that territory. They're like, well, how are you going to keep it quiet? Because they're going to go home and they're going to be like, hey, Dad, you can see. Yeah, I can. How did that happen? Well, I met that man, Jesus. You didn't go over there to that meeting, did you, Dad? Yeah, I did, but look at, I got my eyesight. Wow. Scott Sherrill, hey, buddy, bless you, man. Love you.
Love you, Scott.
Keep going. Verse 22, and as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. The demon-possessed person was, I'll tell you what, I met a man on let me just say it. I got to be careful what I say here. I met a man. I can tell he's got a demon. And every time because I'm going to see him a lot now, every time I see him, I'm like, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you come out of that man right now. There's going to come a point where he's going to be like, and I'm going to say, no, come out now.
Amen.
And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, the multitudes marveled, saying it was never seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons by the rulers of the demons. Don't worry about the religious nuts that's going to be around you. It don't matter if they're if they're some of the nicest people you ever met and that you love the most, and if they mock you and criticize you, then you got to get away from them. I smiled real big when I said that. Why? Because they're going to try to get you to stop doing the power of God, and you can't stop doing the power of God. It is you and I have got to continually be doing the works of God and the works of Jesus on this earth. We must continually be doing the works of Jesus on this earth. And so I encourage you to do them. Now let's look at verse 35. Here's where I was trying to get to about 10 minutes ago, but it's all right. I just love preaching tonight. Why? Because God is good all the time.
Amen.
Now watch. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. How many sicknesses?
Every.
How many diseases?
Every.
But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Why? Because they were weary and they were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. That's where you and I get involved in people's lives. Because people are wandering in this day that we live. They're wandering aimlessly. And they need a shepherd. And you might say, yeah, but Pastor, I'm not a shepherd. No, you're not. But your shepherd, me, or whoever your shepherd is, they are, or at least they're supposed to be teaching you how to go into the world and reach everybody that's around you and bring them to the shepherd and say, hey, let's bring you here and we'll help you find God and help you find grace and help you find love and mercy. I know this ain't a church building, and I like church buildings, and I love it Sunday morning when everybody comes out and sings together and claps and is in one big room together. I love it. I really do love it. Honestly. But in this period of our life, in this assignment, this is what we're doing. And every time you come here, you can find that same life. You can ask questions. You can make comments in here. You can bless other people. If somebody says they're sick, you can pray for them. You can come and say, I need prayer, and put it right in here, and everybody will pray for you. Because even though we're not standing shoulder to shoulder inside a building, we're standing side by side right here, right now. Here comes the angels. I can feel the heat. I can feel the heat ramping up. Thank you, Jesus, for your angels. Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. Verse 36, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary. They were scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Now look what it says. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And then chapter 10, verse number 1, Jesus sends the disciples out and gives them authority over all the power of the devil. Let's go down to chapter 10, verse 7. This is what our assignment is. This is what your assignment is. Whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Instant Messenger, it don't matter where you are. This is your assignment. It says, and as you go, preach. Well, Pastor, I'm not a pastor. It didn't say pastor. It said preach. Proclaim the word of God. Preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I don't even know what it is. Thy kingdom come on this earth as it is in heaven. Really simple. You're trying to complicate it like a Bible college education. Stop making everything dependent upon a Bible college education. That's the least of your worries. No, that'll become the greatest of your worries if you're not called by God to be there. There ain't no more unhappy place in all the world than going to a Bible college when you belong out in the semi, driving a semi, or out in the farm, or out in the construction field, or in the hospital, or the library, wherever you find it, whatever your wherever your mountain you're a part of. Yeah, but Pastor, yeah, how else do you know all so much Bible? I didn't get it from Bible college. I'm just being real. They teach you things about the Bible, but if you don't learn to chase God, all you did was learn about the Bible. I'm preaching really good right there. I'll just throw up a couple hearts. Verse 8, heal the sick. You're assigned to it. Cleanse the lepers. You're assigned to it. Raise the dead. You may not have been here or heard, or maybe you've forgotten. Remember Francetta's son? Was it Ben? That was in the hospital with COVID? He died and left his body several times. And we were praying for Ben 10 times a day right then for God to give him life. And then I never remember the guy's name, but Mike and Shannon's cousin or nephew or whoever it was that was down in Georgia or wherever he was that had taken the shot and was in the hospital and actually died and was dead on the table and came back to life when this group of believers prayed. And then over and over, we've seen the prayer of faith raise the dead. Now, we've seen the prayer of faith try to raise people that were in heaven saying, I ain't coming back there, so you all might as well stop praying. Ready? Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Pastor, what have I freely received? Have you not been listening to me for the last 6 months? I love it. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts. Now, don't be going out and doing this one because in the day we live, unless God tells you to do that, you better be paying attention to what you're doing. Because you can't go to the mission field today on two pennies. Unless God told you to. And then if you're like Dr. Winston, when he went to Chicago, he had
$200.
And as soon as he got there, they stole his car. And he had to walk. Heaven, whatever city, I love this. Or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. Wait, he's not inquiring of the people. He's inquiring of the city. And if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. That's how you know where to go, who to be with, and who not to be with, is does your peace rest upon them when you put it out? All right, I can tell somebody said, wait a minute. Jeff, what's that all about, Pastor? Well, all right, This will probably be the end of what we're teaching tonight, although I got about 75 other things I could talk about, but, you know, I really probably better go to sleep soon. All right. But, what was I saying?
Something different. Oh, my goodness.
I got it. Oh, sending your peace out.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, have you ever been around somebody that they were just dark?
Yeah.
And you're like, there is something about this person that I don't like. Now, wait, be careful, because the religious spirit will cause you to get connected with a dark person that isn't going to change, so that that dark person can waste all of your time and resources and money and you not get anything accomplished for God. Have you ever had one of those people in your life who every time they got around you, they caused trouble? And every time you got around them, it's like, man, my life just has a big old mess happen every time I get around these people. What is going on? They're a dark individual. And Jesus said, send your peace in. Not a piece of apple pie. Don't throw a piece of pie in. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Wait, the Prince of Peace lives on the inside of you. And present your peace into that house, into that relationship. And if that peace comes back to you, don't go there. Now, if you've got a bad marriage because you've sowed bad seed into your marriage for many years, then you're going to have to sow some good seed in order to see that turn around. You don't get to just walk away just because you have a bad day. Well, what we got to learn to do is say, wait a minute. There is something coming from this person that is troubling me. That doesn't mean you automatically walk away. They might have a spirit that you're getting ready to cast off. And then they would be free. The only one that can tell you whether or not to be around them is Jesus by the Holy Spirit who lives in here. And if you learn to, as soon as you learn to become one with the Father will be like, don't go there. Don't be around them people. Don't have anything to do with them. And you'd be like, yeah, but they're lost. And he'll say, doesn't matter. I've had him say to me, they're going to stay lost. Not because of his choice, but because of their choices. I'm like, well, I bind that in Jesus' name. And I've had him say, you can't bind that. You can't bind their will and their decision. All you can bind is the devil. And if you and I bind the devil, And they just stay. You want to say it?
I'm not sure where you're going.
And they decide to stay with the devil. What are you going to do? You can't change the fact that they want to stay with the devil. Freely you have received. Freely give everywhere you go. Right now, while we've been talking, the Holy Spirit has been bringing some people's names to you. People's faces have been coming to you. Some of them are for you to not be around anymore. And then some of them are for you to go to begin to witness to them. There are some people you should be witnessing to because of the perversity of their lives. I remember when I started getting around all the bikers, the majority, 90% of the people that was in our organization were just red-blooded Americans that believe in the troops, and they were Democrats and Republicans, and they were on the farthest opposite end of politics from each other. But it didn't matter because standing on that line, they were red-blooded American people who believed in the Constitution, believed in the flag, and believed in our troops who were out there making a difference right then in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I learned it from them. But there were some people out there that God just told me, you stay away from that person. Why? They had a troubling spirit about them. You know how we are. We're believers. We're like, yeah, but Jesus, send me in there. Let me reach them. And he would say, no, you're not going to reach them. What's going to happen if you take on someone who is stronger than you in the realm of the spirit? You're going to lose. Well, pastor, ain't nobody can be stronger than me. I got Jesus. I know there's principalities and powers that are much stronger than where you are right now, because it comes down to what you have actually built your physical, your spiritual strength up to in the realm of the spirit to be able to take control over. I'm preaching better than you're staring right now. See, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities. We do wrestle with principalities and powers and rulers and of the darkness of this world. And I was listening to a message by Brother Kevin Zadi, and he was saying on that message that as a flight attendant, he could, after a while, after he got into the things of God, he could tell you what city they were flying over just by the spirit. Because every city has its own principality and its own power. Men like Brother Richard and Brother Dan that drive over the road, they have the ability to go in and out of a lot of different cities. And you just start getting close to some cities and you're like, wow, there's something about this city, man. Yeah. Chicago's that way. Minneapolis is that way. And what's the capital of Minnesota or Wisconsin?
Madison,
man. You go to Minneapolis and then you go to Madison and then you go to Chicago, Rockford area. And Madison is a bright and shining light in the midst of those three very dark cities. Minneapolis is dark. Chicago is dark. Rockford is dark.
Yeah, very.
Very dark.
Very dark.
Mishawaka, Indiana, light. See, what it comes down to is, are the Christians in those cities doing anything in the realm of the spirit to take out that enemy? But you don't get to take the enemy out. That's a principality and a power over a whole region unless you have already built your spiritual strength up to the point that when you face that principality, you already know how to deal with it. Jesus, when he went across the lake, he sent the disciples over there because they were going to cast out the demons out of those two men in the tombs. So they stopped destroying the trade along that route. And Jesus sent the disciples knowing there was going to be a storm on that lake, knowing that they were going to be able to be built up in God, grow in God, and begin to take authority over storms. And what was the storm designed to do? Stop Jesus from getting to the other side to cast out that demon. On the other side of the lake, the beginning side of the lake, when Jesus said to the disciples, go to the other side, there is a principality and a power that's like, uh-oh, he's coming our way. And so what did they do? They stirred up the spirit of the Sea of Galilee to destroy them, to make them go down. When they got out of the boat, Jesus had already spoken to both of the demons and both of those men. And those men came running to Jesus and bowed down before him because they wanted to be free. And
they had the power to override those demons inside of them.
Yep. And yet, those what did the demons say? Don't cast us out of this region. Mm-hmm. Don't cast us out of this region. And Jesus said, all right, go jump in the pigs, and the pigs will jump in the lake. And guess what? You're stuck in the pig's body. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the demons were stuck in the pig's body. And that region was free from that demonic power. You see, when it comes to dealing with a principality, you've got to be holy. You've got to be righteous. You've got to be pure. You've got to be bold. And you've got to have used the name of Jesus at least once before when it actually made something change for somebody's life. It's the only way you build your spiritual strength up. And the way you do that is you speak life everywhere you go, every single day. And no matter what shows up, you use the word of faith and you speak to that thing and you tell it to bow its knee to the things of God Almighty. Can I get an amen from anybody, anywhere, in this Presbyterian Council tonight?
Amen.
Forgot Sunday was here. Almost. Yeah, like, whoa, 92nd lady, hey. And so people are like, well, Pastor, I'm scared casting out demons. Man, don't be scared. It'll show up when it's supposed to. Until then, just be happy that you're going to be counted worthy someday to be able to do it. And then when it shows up, you'll be like, uh-huh. Well, guess what? I knew you was coming. And so you know what that means? That means I'm fixing right now to stomp you. And then like Dr. Summerall said, you tell it to come out, and you don't stop telling it to come out until it's gone. That lady who was being bitten by devils in the Manila prison, and Dr. Summerall found out about it, and he went in there. He said, I'm a preacher. I'll cast that demon out. And he went in that day and prayed for 5 hours that first day. And the demon didn't come out. Now, what's that tell you about that demon? It was seated in a very specific position of principality and power. And in that lady's life. So what did he do? He went home, fasted and prayed all night, got up the next day, went back into the prison, prayed for 8 hours. Demon didn't come out. Went home, fasted, prayed most of the night, went back to the prison. And I think it was after like 2 hours on the third day that demon started coming out. But here's the reality. After that point, Dr. Summerall never had a problem with demons. He tells a story about one night waking up. He was in some foreign nation where the demons are really present. Like Dr. Barclay says, it's not a post-nasal drip demon. These are real demons. It'll scare you, you know. And he woke up. Dr. Summerall said, I woke up and my bed was shaking. He's like, oh, get out of here, you stupid devil. Quit shaking my bed. He said, just like that, the presence of the devil left. And the bed quit shaking. And he's like, no, you get back in there and put my bed back in the corner where it belongs. He said, demon came back in, slid the bed back over in the corner where it belongs. He's like, now get out of here. Don't come back. Amen. Yeah. All you're doing is just building supernatural strength. Amen. Yeah. Nothing to be scared of. I would say, don't say he's with you. Say he keeps coming at me. Because you don't want anything with you. But those are just words. All I'm doing is fixing words. Because you don't want to make that statement. But listen, I'm glad you typed that. Mike, Bill, Steve. What's this guy's name?
Richard
Miller. God bless you, Richard. I'm glad you just typed that because that's going to help a lot of people right there. So let's just deal with that. Remember what we're doing? Everywhere you go. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. Be careful what you say. If everywhere you go, you say, man, the devil just attacking me and attacking me and attacking me and attacking me. He just beating me down. I'm going to tell you what the devil's going to do. He's going to attack you and attack you and attack you and beating you down. But if everywhere you go, you say, I cast out demons, I heal the sick, I raise the dead, freely I have received, freely I give, I have received the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, and I reign in life with Jesus, I command you, devil, get out. Power of life and death is in these tongues, in these lips, in your tongue, because you gotta be watching what you say. Keeps coming at me. Amen, brother. There's a whole group of people that believe that fiery darts are coming from within you. They ain't coming from within you. They're coming from outside trying to get in you, trying to get you to believe that what they're telling you is actually a reality, when what they're telling you is not a reality. It's what they want you to become, because they're trying to rewrite your book that was written for you when you was born in heaven. Anybody know what time it is? I'm just preaching.
25 after 9.
Seriously. That's the 62nd lady. We've been on here that long already. All we got to do is you build that life in the blood of Jesus. And we focus on the blood and the righteousness and giving glory to God. And that enemy cannot stay. But I'm going to tell you, I remember being in that battle where you are, Richard. I remember that battle. I remember thinking, will it ever end? But wait, then I opened my mouth and you know what I said? Man, it doesn't seem like this battle's ever going to end. Guess what happened? That's not what happened, lady, so quit interrupting. No, because every time you and I make a statement like this battle ain't never going to end, guess what? The battle never ends. Well, Pastor, you can't do that. Yeah, you can do it, because you have to do it, because Jesus said we're going to give an account of every idle word that we have spoken. Anybody got an idle word that you know we're going to be judged for?
No.
Anybody got two idle words you're going to be judged for? Anybody got two idle words today you're going to be judged for? I just want to tell you, God is good all the time, and he has given you and I power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Amen.
All right, one more verse and we'll be done. Should we do one more verse? It's a really good one. Huh? Well, I was waiting for permission. You're my wife. I gotta get permission. I saw Dr. Barclay get permission from Vicky last night. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. I remember him harassing her.
He said, she's like, well, how long are we going to go tonight? He said, I'll be done an hour and a half. She's like, right. And he set his alarm and was done before an hour and a half. Good for you, Pastor. We're proud of you. Last verse of the night. Are you ready? This is, it's an oldie, but it's a goodie. This verse was probably written 683 years before Jesus even showed up on the earth. Isaiah 54:17.
That's a good verse.
It's a good verse to finish the program. We don't ever end, but we finish it. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon, not a spoken, not a thrown, not a hurled, not a fired, not a written, not a broadcast word, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Some of you need to write this verse down and commit it to revelation, not to memory. Committed to revelation. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. I remember the day I heard Dwayne Vanderklok preach on this message that you have to condemn those words rising against you in judgment. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus condemns those words. And I opened up my book. It was like he heard me right while he was preaching. He's like, that is not what it says. I'm like, hey, you don't know what I just said, mister. See, every tongue that rises against you, that's a fiery dart. You and I have to condemn it. Take your long bony finger out and point it right at yourself and say, condemn those words being spoken at you. And then it says, This is your inheritance. This is your inheritance as children of the Lord. This is part of our inheritance to be able to speak over people's words coming at us and canceling them. And it's part of our inheritance that you can find right there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 7, and 8. Yeah, 6, 7, and 8, and 28. Our inheritance. And then to top it all off, the prophet prophesies by the Spirit, and their righteousness is of me, or from me, says the Lord. This is Jesus speaking through Isaiah 680 years before Jesus ever shows up on the earth. Our righteousness comes from Jesus. And that's our inheritance. Yeah, I heard somebody say, man, this is really deep. It is. And when you start meditating in it, it'll get even much deeper. And you might even say it'll even get even much deeplier. Because to think that it doesn't matter what you've done, Jesus is going to give you his righteousness so that you get to live in him and walk in him and dwell in him. And now your life is blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne. That is not Ephesians chapter 3. Where is that? Oh, that's Jude.
Oh, since you're ever
yeah,
trying to be right to us.
Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Don't say that like someday in the future. He wants to do exceeding abundantly above. Speak it like it's already done. And God is making all grace abound toward me. Right here. Right now, today. In Jesus' mighty name. God is good all the time.
Amen.
And all the time, God is good. You watch. Hamas is going to say, we want a peace treaty. You know why? Because they got all those tunnels. What did our mayor say today when we were watching? There's 5,000 miles of tunnels, or 500 miles of tunnels underneath the ground. Guess what he said? 500 miles. And they don't want to lose those. So you watch them come out and say, we just want peace. And in the name of Jesus,
no.
Benjamin Netanyahu
no.
says, no way. You ain't, there ain't nothing happening. We're destroying them, that tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
May they pour diesel fuel down one corner and just let that baby burn. They'll come like rats out the other end. They'll come like rats out the other end. Pastor, that's just mean. No, it's not. Raping women and children is mean. Beheading them and burning them with fire, that's beyond mean. It's demonic.
Oh, that is demonic.
It's demonic. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, got to end on a roll. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, condemn it. If in your city that you live in, you see someone and they're posting in the local fish wrapper, your local newspaper, and they're speaking against the church or speaking against children or speaking against something like that, you point your finger right at that paper and you bind it. If you do watch the news, turn it off. I mean, mute it. You can read its subscripts and then rebuke every word that's coming out of those lying, demonic people's mouths so that they no longer have any form of control in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, how am I going to end this? No weapon formed against you can prosper.
Amen.
That's not because you're a Bible college student. That's because God Almighty lives inside of you. That's a difficult revelation. I encourage you to get that, read the word. I can help you get it if you want it. 14, 15, 16, and 17. It's very powerful. And listen to it over and over. It's Jesus' last words to his disciples before he was crucified. And they are powerful. All four of those chapters, 14, 15, 16, 17, all four of them are very powerful. And you'll love it. Now, everybody lift your hands. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Pamashitakita mulaka nemo de devan. Ena rasa bada kalisa mene banda de bata da kisa de moshe bada kala manon de kibiat. Ando bose perebala shira madonge mene balasa tiketemo nomber nomine. Build up yourself in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Shandalore nagadiba davane manangale batri bustri vando rena makala kaside bede balamondeka endo bastifla ankandoba ure rashita makna endo lodoli baba da danda de manigafri biste bikula made kula mande de vitama. Build up yourself in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Shaneningo de Baba le Masakindo Rondolo Bostafari Badibedikale Manikay. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, Shandaluke Tembrandude, Avala Side Nimanda de Gamma de Role Maside Badabunde Vedima Kari Russia Tidimando. Ola Mosikariba Amalede Vedebana Manakute Domini Bala. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare the storms cease in everyone's life that's in our midst. But I also declare to you the way it's going to happen is that you stand up in the boat and you point your finger and you say, wind, cease, waves, die down. You got to stand up and say it, not look at Jesus and say, why aren't you saying it? Oh, I've just gone back to preaching already. Brother Hagin tells the story of Jesus showing up in his church with him one day. And he said the only problem with it was is between Jesus and Brother Hagin was a little monkey, a demon. And he said when Jesus would speak, that demon would go, yeah, 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 yeah. And he said he did it so loud, I couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. He said, I thought, I wonder why Jesus isn't dealing with that demon. And finally, Jesus is talking to me, and I can't hear him. So he said, I just looked at the demon and said, oh, shut up. And the demon ran down the aisle of the church like a whipped dog and ran out the door. And he said, I looked at Jesus and said, why didn't you deal with it? He said, it's not mine to deal with. It's yours. If you hadn't dealt with that demon, there was nothing I could do because I can't go beyond what you would do. That's why the story of Brother Jesse casting out a demon in the bedroom with him that one night is so funny. Because he woke up and there's a demon at the end of his bed. And he's like, oh, my Lord, there's a demon. And he said, God said, get out there on the floor and cast that thing out. And he's like, I ain't getting out of this bed, man. And he's jumping up and down on the bed, trying to cast that demon out of his room. God said, get up and turn the light on. I ain't getting up and doing nothing. I command you. Finally, he said, at daybreak, the light, the sun started coming up. And he said it was a raincoat hanging on a hanger in front of the air conditioning vent. And every time the air conditioning vent would turn on, the coat would go like this. He said, I was trying to cast a demon out of a raincoat. And he said, I said, Lord, why'd you let me do it? He said, Jesse, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen you do yet. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless the cities of in Mexico where this hurricane has hit. We don't know them, but you do. You know every person that is now displaced because of this hurricane. Hurricane, we command you to cease and desist immediately.
Amen.
Storm surge, go down in the name of Jesus. We sever your eye. I be broken up, dismantled, and no longer able to spin together.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We declare no more hurricanes this season. No more hurricanes this season. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I don't want to quit. I'm sure you can tell. I don't want to quit because I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want to quit, not a single another day, but I know I got to be done because it's time to hit the hay. I'm a poet and didn't know it. I ain't a poet. That's Jesus. Well, I might be a poet. Who knows? If I'm a poet, Jesus, I accept it. But here we go. You will work right now. There we go. You will work right now. Let's receive our communion elements together. Let's receive our communion elements together.
All right.
Can you see the screen yet?
Mm-hmm.
Let's receive the communion elements together.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, we always put these up here like this. Well, we work very hard at always putting them up there like this. But I'm always going to say always because that makes it a prayer of and a declaration of faith. And that's what we have to say. Because we want you to be able to say this with us in Jesus' mighty name. Ready? These are the communion verses right at home. You read them out loud right there. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John 4:17-18. Love has been perfected among us, and this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, that's capital P, that's Jesus, as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. in Jesus' mighty name. Now, our next step is to pray the prayer of salvation. So, we have it right there on the screen. We encourage you to sit here right now. In Jesus' mighty name. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire, so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Wait, surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. You know, it's one thing to lead, but it's also another thing to make sure that when both of us are there, that we both don't make the same mistake at the same time. Well, welcome to the family of God. We're glad to have you here. If it's the first time or the 1,000th, we are really, really glad you're here with us and you received these elements. Your life just changed forever, and you went from darkness to light. Did I put it on there? You went from fear to faith. You are made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Don't you just love how God does that in our lives in Jesus' mighty name? There, it makes it even stand out a little bit. I like that. I really like that. All of that just happened right now because you said, Jesus, I receive you. There's the verses that back it up. Take a screenshot with your phone. You got my email address. You got the website. You got the verses. And make sure you remember to hit subscribe and hit the bell so that you can receive the notifications when we go live. And that way you always know what's going on. And we'll do our best to keep you posted. I was trying to say all that, but keep you in the know, the mnosted. Here we go. Somebody's stuck, aren't they? Here we go. Pray this prayer with me. Hold up your elements. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Say this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus. In the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus, that your body was broken so that we could enter in and become a part of you. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed
for me,
to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, sin has been placed in remission in my life.
I
am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment,
my dominion
mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church, without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. That's why I like my cup. This is in Isaiah 1:18. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus. Ready? Let's sing. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power. Precious blood of the Lamb. That's my dad's favorite song. And, of course, he's singing a song about the blood of Jesus now. We probably ain't never heard, but the other night was the third anniversary of my dad's going to heaven. And I was driving, and at one point I was out of the city, I was out in the country, and the moon was bright. And I'm like, said, well, Dad, what's up tonight? They were in a shooting star just like that, right over top of the truck. It was amazing. And every time I ask that question, I get a shooting star. So my dad's just out running around in the galaxies, you know. What are you doing tonight? Now we're just out cruising on the Milky Way. Every time you see a shooting star, that's a cruise ship of people out of heaven. Anybody on the Earth cruise tonight? I ain't going back there for nothing. No, we're flying over it. We're flying over it. Well, I hope you enjoyed tonight. Kind of was a little scattershot, but it was good. It's a good word. Since we know what we're going to be judged for. And we know God is good all the time. Now just every day when you wake up, say, help me, Jesus. Help me to do and be what I'm supposed to do and be. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, remember this. I pray for you right now tonight. Sleep of the righteous is blessed. And you're blessed because you're the righteous. You lie down in peace and safety. And in a dream, in a vision of the night, on Job 33, Joel chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, God's going to reveal to you and your children and your spouse and your family his plan for your life and yours. And until we see you again, this is what we have to say. I'm getting very sleepy, and it is time to go lay down. Till we see you again, remember this.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Yeah, please show it to me. Good night, everyone. We love you. Good night, Tracy. Roger.
Sunday. Oh, Sunday
already,
Russia.
Dan. Rebecca, Scott, Braden. Roger. And all y'all we don't
Jesus,
see.
You all.
We call you blessed, Jesus, my dear. And Jesus. Oh, I was waiting for you to close it up.
Oh, I can't.
I got it.
Yeah.